Attention. You already know when I say attention, that means I'm talking to you, project manager. Attention. You know when I say attention, I'm talking to you, business professional. Are you really, truly ready to unlock your true potential of your projects and skyrocket your career? In today's episode, we will reveal some game-changing tactics that top, and I do mean top, or I should say exceptional, project managers use to deliver exceptional results every single time. Do you mind if I share a story with you? You know, one of the reasons why I'm doing today's episode is because sometimes I truly believe that we as project managers forget what value we bring to a particular project, organization, and people in general. I remember I was leading this project, and what I noticed was that there were all of these silo type conversations that were going on. One group of stakeholders were working on something that was not even relevant to what the final goal was. And then there was another group that was frustrated because they had an expectation, key word is expectation, of waiting on the first group to deliver the product that they were looking for. The third group was thinking to themselves, what are the group one and two doing? Why are they not giving me an update? What am I saying? Why am I sharing this story, family? I'm sharing this story because this is the value that project managers have. They have the ability to bring all those three groups that I just shared with you in that story together and watch this, family, facilitate a meaningful conversation to get everybody on the same page. I don't know about you, but I've watched it when, you know, especially my rookies, when they come in as new project managers. That's why I'm so glad that you're watching and listening to today's episode, because this is going to be valuable for you. You will be ahead of project managers that have 5, 6, 7, multiple years of experience because of these small little things. We forget about the basics. You know, Kobe Bryant, one of the things he would do, he worked on the fundamentals. What are the fundamentals? The footwork. What are the fundamentals? Layup. What are the fundamentals? Just basic, the fundamentals. So today, take a walk and ride with me, as I said, take a walk and ride with me as we unpack today's episode. Today's episode is entitled, what is the real value of a project manager? If you're new to the episode, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means Ed. I have an 8-point framework, and these 8 points, my goal, my mission, my job today is to unpack today's title, which again is entitled, what is the real, or I should say, what is the real value of a project manager? All right, family, let's get into point number one. Point number one. Building and maintaining strong relationships. Listen, one of the key things, if you want to get ahead of most project managers or project coordinators, you need to be able to build connections with people, because right now, and even in the future, present or past, the ability to be able to connect with people that are actually doing the work, connect with people that that you can hold at a level of accountability, people that you can help address their concerns, their problems, and also be able to take their ideals and do something with them if they make sense. And if they don't make sense, putting them in a log so you can track if you can use them for future projects. So being able to foster this type of trust and collaboration. You remember I shared the story about those three groups of people stakeholders. So being able to foster this collaboration is going to be key. You will have a leg up on so many project coordinators, so many project managers, that they'll be shocked, like, man, how long? You sure you've only been doing this for a couple years? No, tell them you've been listening to ED and telling and giving you this great value. Let's move on to point number two. Managing project documentation and knowledge transfer. Listen, family, one of the biggest things that I've learned along in this journey, as long as I've been a project manager, documentation beats conversation. I don't care what they said, but we got to document it. I don't care what they did, we're still going to document it. That's why it's important to have a project manager, because they are focused on maintaining comprehensive project documentation. That's including your schedule, that's including your plans, that's including your reports, that's including a knowledge repository, which we sometimes refer to OPAs. What is OPAs? Organizational Process Assets. This is where it's important to ensure we have a centralized repository for project information. Listen, if when you have a project manager in place, it allows people to play their role and play their position. Okay, what are you saying by that, ED? You're trying to be smart on us. No. Really, what I'm saying, family, is that imagine if you could just keep the main thing the main thing. Saying if you're the technical SME and you're more, and all you have to do is worry about the technical aspect. You don't have to worry about setting up the meetings. You don't have to worry about who should you invite to the meetings. All you have to do is tell your project manager, I need these three people. I need to meet at this time so we can discuss these points. And I'm going to take all that information as the project manager and more, and ask even more questions during the meeting. And I'm going to put it out in the email so everybody is on the same page. Ooh, doesn't that sound so good? Let's move on to point number three. Point number three. Message. Anytime I say message, if you're new to the episode, what you'll know is that means it's time for you to pay attention. You may want to not put down your phone, but anything else that you're doing, this is imperative. This is important. Why is it important? Because point number three is resolving conflicts and roadblocks. See, when you have a project manager's value is having the ability to allow people to have disagreements in a professional way, and then knowing when to step in and say, okay, guys, that's enough. We focused on the problem long enough. We vented long enough. Now let's change that, take that same energy and put it towards the problem. And you have to be proactive with this. But there's times though, family, I want to be clear, and I do mean crystal clear, that you need to allow your team to have a venting session. But once they get it all out your system, or you set a timer, say, hey, listen, we got 10 minutes. All right, I'm gonna go around the room and everybody say what they're frustrated about regarding this project or regarding that particular stakeholder. I'm gonna give you 2 minutes apiece. After that, that's it. Now we're taking that same energy, that same frustration, and we're gonna pour it into the actual solution. So what I'm saying here is the ability to facilitate constructive discussions and negotiate solutions to keep the project, guess what, moving on forward. All right, family, let's move on to point number four. Point number four, this is my favorite. The ability to drive accountability and ownership. You know, when you have a project manager in place, their job or their role should be holding people accountable. And when you hold somebody accountable for what they said that they were going to do, the commitment they were going to make. I love what Cody Sanchez said. I heard a recent clip where she said, obsessed people will, and I'm paraphrasing because I literally just heard it, but she was saying obsessed people will be better resources than people that are interested. It's something like that. But what I got, let me tell you what I got out of it. So we won't even say, but I got it from Cody Sanchez and I remixed it. What I understood what she was saying is that people that are obsessive about the thing that they're doing are going to go further than the person that is interested, because when someone is interested in something, they get interested in something else or get interested in something else. We call that in our community the shiny object syndrome. And sometimes it can be like that on a project. You will have a shiny object project, meaning, yeah, we need to get this thing and this thing and that thing. No, the customer did not ask for all of those things. We can document it. And then we can, after we finish the project, we can present the customer with these additional options. But no, this is what we're sticking with until the customer advises us otherwise. So again, the ability to hold team members accountable for their deliverables and contributions are always going to be key. Point number five, facilitating decision-making and problem-solving. Now, the key thing here, or I should say the key word, is facilitation. That is a expertise that a project manager is going to always continually improving and working on. When you have the ability to facilitate a decision-making process, maybe you use a fishbone type approach or Ishikawa type approach, same thing. There's so many different techniques out there of problem solving. One of the latest from my mentor, my friend, I've shared this with you guys before, the Dig Civ book. You want to pick this up. This is an excellent book when it comes to problem solving. Sometimes when you find a resource and there's somebody that you know is close to you, sometimes you're like, oh, I don't want to share it because they may think I'm being biased. Well, I am being truly biased. I think everyone should pick up this book because it is one of those books that are definitely changing. It's on Amazon. Again, it's called Dig, Sift. So what it does is help you. It's a framework to allow you to solve a particular problem. And one of the things is that one of the challenges I see my newbie project managers, you know, have challenges with, in which they should. But if you're listening to this, I'm going to repair that and get you on the right path. By facilitating the decision-making and problem-solving, it's all about going around the room. If you're virtual, around the call. If you're on site, around the room and asking, hey, how would you solve this particular problem? And what the biggest thing here, this is where the facilitation piece comes in, because human nature sometimes has a tendency to fall back and start focusing on the problem and getting frustrated about the problem and venting more about the problem and talking more about the, you see how exhausting that is? Hey, listen, it is what it is. What is done is done. Now, how do we fix it? This is where you come in, project manager. This is where you come in, project coordinator, and shift the paradigm as far as the conversation to get the team to focus on the solution. And you have to have the courage. Sometimes you got to say, hey guys, if we're going to just keep talking about the problem, I'm just going to end the call because this is not helping anyone. There's other things that we could be doing with our time. So until you guys are ready to talk about the problem, I'm going to end the call. And have I done that? Yes, because I understand the importance when somebody gets in a, it's like, you know, the whole thing about when a bull sees red and they just go after it. And so sometimes when your stakeholders see a problem, they just go after the problem and forget about the solution. So that's what you always hear me talk about here on these different episodes when it comes to talking about facilitation around decision-making and problem solving. Also, use an artifact. I mentioned it before. I actually did an episode on it called a RAID Q-Log. What does that acronym stand for? It stands for Risk, Action Items, Issues, and the key one here is Decision, and the next key one is Questions. Now, a lot of people just use the RAID. I like using the adding the Q because I like keeping a track of all of the questions that are asked during a meeting. And if we're recording the meeting, then hearing the answers and adding and putting those in place, but especially when it comes to decisions. And I document all the people that were in there. So that way, if it ever comes up again and say, well, we never talked about that. Oh, no problem. Hold on for just a minute, John. Let me pull up the RAID Q law. Well, on Friday, X amount at some sudden time, this is what we talked about. So again, family, look at that artifact. If you guys want me to do another episode on the RAID Q log, leave RAID Q in the comments, ping me. I'm actually thinking about, you know what, I'm going to say it here live. I'm actually going to go ahead and create an IG so that way you can DM me on Instagram to ask me these type of questions if you have questions. So stay tuned for that. I was waiting to reveal that, but I just, sometimes this message gets so good to me that I want to make sure that I'm giving you guys so much value that when you guys look up, you say, wow, He's really obsessed about this thing called project management. I tell you guys, if I want you to fall in love with this thing called project management, because I have. So let's move on to point number six. Point number six, promoting a positive team culture. Listen, family, if you've ever heard of the Bruce Tuckerman model, if you haven't, I'm going to unpack it for you real quick in under 1 minute. Forming, storming, norming, performing, and a journey. When you're forming, you start having somewhat of a conflict. You know, I mean, you're nice, let's put it like that. We're cordial. But then when we go into the storming stage, that's when you start seeing all the conflict and all the frustration and everything like that. This right here is when a project manager has to step in and divert that emotion to build up something positive. So we have to find a way to get a quick win. And you do that by getting a quick win by letting the team know you're there to support them, and not just letting them know, but stepping in and stepping up. If there's something that they're struggling with, hey, how can I help you? What do you need? I'm here to support you. Let's get on a call and unpack what the need is so you'll know that I'm there. I'll take all the notes. I'll document everything. I just need to know, what do you need? Right then and there, you know what that does? That does what we talked about, and I think on the first very point, which is building a strong relationship. Let's move on to point number 7. Continuous improving processes and practice, or what I like to call always asking why. You know, what I'll get frustrated with, family, if you ask somebody, hey, so why are we doing that? And they say, well, that's how we always done it. You're like, so you didn't think about looking at changing it? Well, no, I mean, that's how they always done it. So you have to have the ability, family, to challenge the processes, to challenge the practices, or just asking that probing question, hey, why are we doing this? This is going to open up opportunities to improve the process. Now, there are certain times where the process doesn't need to be improved, but you don't know unless you don't ask. Let's move on to point number 8, resistant, or I should say, managing stakeholders' expectations. You know, one of the things, family, I should have put this as the number one thing. And I say this and I take a breath because it's one of those things where if you do not take the time to level set what the standard and the expectation is, this is where a lot of frustration comes in, because there's a certain expectation that a stakeholder may have, but yet they didn't attend the meetings, yet they weren't reading the emails, yet they were not in touch with the team. So now they're sitting here saying, well, we need to do this and do this and do that. And you're like, well, no, we discussed all of those things you just said. And if you would have been present at the meeting, you would have had that. But this is a conversation you don't have in front of other stakeholders, because as a project manager or coordinator, you're not there to embarrass anyone. What you want to do is say, hey, can I set up a meeting or can we connect right after this? I want to address those concerns that you have. That's when you let that stakeholder have it in a professional way and letting them know, hey, we've discussed all these things. We've had, you know, 10 meetings and you didn't show up to any one of them. There's been many meeting recaps on, you didn't provide any input. Your name was on there. Now you want to get involved? No, I'm sorry. We're moving forward with this. If you don't like that, if you don't like that approach, I understand. Here, you might want to go ahead and escalate that, because the team collectively has agreed on it and this is where we're moving. So we need to make sure that we're doing every possible thing to keep these stakeholders engaged. So that way, when we get to a certain point in the project and now they're trying to come change it, now change is not bad. I'm all for change. But if you haven't been part of the dialogue, if you haven't been part of making the sacrifice to show up at the meeting, if you haven't taken the time to make the sacrifice to read the meeting minutes or meeting recap, then why should I take the time to entertain you? Anyway, I'll move on to the bonus. Bonus of today is ensuring efficient resource allocation. Like I've said before, I think that needs to be part of the iron triangle. The reason why resources is really the bloodline or the foundation of an actual project. So, but having the ability when there are competing priorities, how can you manage and optimize and allocate your resources when required? So again, family, I find that it's important to engage engage stakeholders early and often as possible, as much as possible. So there's no reason why they can't say, well, I can't find the meeting invite, or I wasn't sure what we were supposed to do. No. We're going to eliminate all of that. So family, let me go in my closing remarks and then I'll let you be on your way. I really hope you're enjoying today's episode, because I'm having fun delivering it today. Here we go. Point number 1. Facilitate decision-making and problem-solving. Again, your ability to facilitate and shift the stakeholder's mindset to solving problems and making a decision. But even though when they make a decision or we solve a problem, what are we going to do? We're going to document the actual decision, or we're going to document the actual problem that we solved. Point number 2, building and maintaining a strong relationships. Hey, that's the key of any success of your project, because you may need to call in favors from your stakeholders where they may be on a priority that may be that is a higher priority than yours. How can you convince or persuade them to come to give you some of that time so you can make sure that your project doesn't fail? So ensuring that you are fostering and keeping a collaborative approach and not a silo approach. And the last and final one, which is resolving conflicts and roadblocks. Listen, that is your job, family, is resolving these conflicts. Now, you may not be able to resolve everything. You may have one of those stakeholders that just refuse to play ball. Then you need to get them up out of there, or you need to find an alternative. But you always need to be the one that's in the middle of those conflicts and addressing them head on. I really, truly hope you enjoyed today's episode. Like I said earlier, I really enjoy delivering it. I will be on IG. I will be dropping my IG in the comments as well as in the show notes. So if you have any questions, DM me about project management, personal development. I want to be here to serve you and help you out. Looking forward to connecting with you. Until next time, you know my motto, you know my slogan. I'm out.